Hello. Welcome to the Yogi Show. We have Ashton on, Ashton August from yogiapproved.com. That's yogiapproved.com. We're already throwing it in there right now because you got to go check it out, but you have to listen to this first. Pedro, what's up? Ashton, what's up?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for being here, Ashton. Thank you, Brian, for the wonderful introduction, as always. And let's welcome our guest on, Ashton, to the show. Welcome to the show. We're doing a virtual round of applause because Brian didn't put on the sounds like he said he was going to do. That's okay. We still love you, Brian.
I'll get to it.
Oh, man, Brian. I wanted applause, Brian. I wanted it.
I'll throw it in there after.
Yay. Yay. There it is.
Thank you for having me on today. I've been looking forward to this.
Super. Yeah, absolutely. We've tried, everybody out there listening, we've tried to schedule this three times. There were some conundrums on my end. I think it was all me, actually. But we've made it here and we're excited to have Ashton on the show. You know, Brian has done some stuff with Yogi Approved before with Ashton, you know, and her amazing brand. And I have a few friends that I think stream with you and work with you that I didn't know about. And like these like little connections along the way that, you know, what I've realized in this yoga world is that we really are all connected, and how cool it is that you can practice from anywhere now. And I think you were, tell me if I'm wrong, but we're going to ask you in a second. So you were kind of like one of the pioneers for like digital yoga online streaming kind of deal. When did you start, Ashton? And what was the idea, like the inception behind like, hey, let's do this thing with Yogi Approved?
Yeah, absolutely. We founded Yogi Approved back in 2015. When I say we, it was my then boyfriend, now husband, Tyler, and I. Oh, and we started with just the digital magazine. So yogiapproved.com, or as Brian would say, that is yogiapproved.com, everyone. And then the YA classes, the online yoga and fitness platform, came in 2017. So yes, we were certainly doing it well before the legions of options that are now available post-COVID or since COVID. But there were certainly earlier players in the game when we came in.
When you came, we tried to do, I didn't know. Okay. So I didn't know y'all, I didn't know Yogi Approved was just a digital magazine at first. I didn't know that. I remember when I was working for a South Florida yoga magazine, and we were trying to do like a local community magazine. And then we tried to do it digitally, and it just like, shit was hard. It just didn't work. Like it was just too much and we just scrapped it. But like, that's amazing it's super amazing that you did that. And when you had the inception to do that, I want to know this, because as an entrepreneur, shameless question for myself, right? When you said, I'm going to do the magazine, like what was the vision at that time? And I'm sure it's changed since then. But what was the vision at that time? Like, we're going to do the digital magazine. Where's it going to go?
Totally. Love that question. And the keyword there is vision. For entrepreneurship, you've got to have the vision from step one, A to Z, you know? And for us, I had recently graduated from ASU with my master's in creative nonfiction writing. I'm a writer first and foremost, even pre-yoga. So I always was saying, I want to do something related to writing. Brian knows, we chatted about this recently, that when I was young, I always said, I want to be an editor for a magazine, or I want to write for a magazine. So now I just own my own. Ha, look how that works.
Like, fuck it, I'll just make my own.
Yeah.
Making my own, guys. And so I was also teaching yoga at that time. And we were just all talking about hot yoga right before we went on air. And I was teaching like 12 hot yoga classes a week and loving it, but also really wanting to merge these two passions of yoga and writing. And my other passion is, you know, being of service, community building, helping others. And so meanwhile, my boyfriend at the time, Tyler, was a marketing director at a company that was not making his soul sing, because he's an entrepreneur. So, and as an entrepreneur, Pedro, I know you know this, you can't work for someone else if you're that minded. And so he really was wanting to branch out and start another business, and online is kind of his realm. Hence how Yogi Approved was born. We were sitting in my apartment. Like, how can we do this? How can we each have our passions and fulfill this and create a career for ourselves, a life for ourselves around it? And I'll never forget it. I was telling Brian, I have to find the notebook because I have it somewhere where we were writing it down. And we were just writing down, like, what kind of font are we going to have on this website? What kind of colorways are we going to have? You know what I mean? Like, what are the categories that we want people to write on? And that's the key with vision, right? You want to get as clear and specific as possible. So that was our vision for the magazine. And the final thing I'll say about it is we really started more as like a consumer resources for all things yoga. So we were doing a lot of product reviews, right? Like reviewing yoga mats, yoga wheels, yoga clothing, blah, blah, blah. And that's actually how we made the smooth transition. I like how I have this pen now.
Yeah. Hello, y'all.
That's how I made the smooth
transition. Bust out the dry erase board soon. And just like start writing.
Here it comes.
Right? Lesson one. Oh shit. Let me get my notes out.
Yes.
Ashton's taking us to school today.
Yeah. Get your notebooks out. But that's how we made the smooth transition to video, is we started creating product review videos. And then we were like, why don't we make some yoga videos?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Hence, here we are.
And then you have it now. Yeah. And that's an important note for everybody out there that's listening. You know, as an entrepreneur, like you're saying, vision, you know, as I started my entrepreneur journey, I had a vision of like, oh, this is where I think my online community will go, or this is where I think I'll be doing. I remember, y'all, this is a batshit crazy. This is random as shit. Here we go. So I sent my kid to school. I sent my youngest to school at 16 months old to go to preschool because I had no time to work. And so as I have time to, I said, okay, let me, I don't have the money to send him to preschool, but if I don't send him to preschool, I'm not going to be able to make any money anyway. So it's like, you understand that. And as an entrepreneur, as someone that's like having the corporate job, but wants to make the leap, it's like, you know, you find that in the middle, at some point you got to put 2 feet in one boat and get the fuck on with it. And so that's what I did. Yeah, I put my one kid in one boat and got the fuck on with it and put him in school. And then I said,
you have to spend money to make money.
Yeah. You got to spend money to make money, you know? And so I said, you know, and I was buying time. I was just paying for time. That's what I was paying for. And a good education. So I started doing that. My first vision, y'all, was I had Yogi Memes, right? Everybody knows that. I think everybody knows. I had this Yogi Memes platform and I was like, I can do these giveaways and I can just make $500 a week doing giveaways. So that's like $2,000 a month and that'll pay for my childcare and a little extra stuff. Like that was the vision. You know how many $500 a week giveaways I did once I sent my kid to school? Zero. Fucking none. Didn't happen. But that was the intent. And that was what gave me the peace of mind to be able to send him to school. But so, other things just funnel in, you know, other things happen. Yeah. And this was born from it. So many other things. But the point of the story is just to kudos to Ashton for having a vision, taking the leap, going all in, and then just figuring the shit out along the way. Because everyone that thinks like, oh, I'm going to figure it all out and then I'll start. You're never like, you're not doing, nothing's happening.
Thank you, dude. You just said it. It's one of those things. There's a term for it. Maybe one of you guys can help me think of the term, but it's like that like paralysis to even get started. That's my dog. Right. He moves. He's confused.
That was your stomach at first. I was like,
she's hungry.
Gotta get that hummus out.
Are we getting lunch catered for this podcast, guys? I'm real. Stomach's grumbling.
Let's order some tacos. Come on.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Come on, admin.
Yeah, come on.
Where's Janet? Like, where the fuck is Janet?
Janet, where's my shrimp tacos?
Janet, get her tacos. Fuck.
God, I've been waiting. I've been waiting so long.
Guess is hungry.
But it's that paralysis of, you know, if you wait until the perfect timing, if you wait until you quote feel ready or quote feel prepared enough, it may not ever happen. And so, yes, you want to have the vision, you want to take the steps for preparation, but you also just need to step off the ledge and trust that you will land on your feet or you will find your wings and fly. And I give you so much props for that, Pedro, because it's Thanks. Much more challenging when you also are like having a baby to provide for. And, you know, that's like some real life shit right there.
Yeah, I got three of those mofos.
Ooh,
it's busy. We're busy around here.
Busy, busy.
But you're so
taking
right.
action, you know, taking action, get moving. You know, that's the thing. Like for me, it's like, I can read all this shit and like learn all the philosophy and like study business, but like, doesn't do me shit if I'm not doing anything about it. You know, it's like, and it's never going to be like the right timing. You know, I've noticed like, it's never like, oh, I'll just wait until, you know, things clear up my schedule next week. It's like, it's never the right timing. I just need to fucking do something today. Get shit done.
Jump in. And thank you for saying that, Brian, because that's one of my favorite pieces of like self advice, right? That I'm always telling myself. I say to myself, self, even if you're feeling overwhelmed, behind, uninspired, whatever it is, just do something, just get it done. Just start checking things off the list. It's going to help you feel motivated. Like, take little steps every day to move forward. You know what I mean? Like, if you would have started a year ago today, where would you be now with little baby steps?
Yeah.
So just leap in, y'all. Just jump in, take that first step.
Jump right. in. Jump on in.
I'd have a lot more TikTok followers if I would have started a year ago. But hey, you know, whatever. You know,
it's
whatever.
Cool. It's cool, Pedro. Yeah. Because of you, I don't fucking try to inspire anybody to go on TikTok because every day I was telling you to go on TikTok and you just didn't do it until recently. I'm like, you know what? I'm not telling people to go on TikTok.
Then I quit again.
I'll do it myself.
I know, Brian, we all can't be like TikTok famous like you though. Okay,
yeah.
Brian.
I want to be like Brian. You know,
most of my videos suck. Most of them suck.
No, they don't. Like three.
Oh,
they
come on.
Stop it. When I walk through, all I got to say, age much. Ashton, tell me now, now that you're doing what you're doing now, right? Every day when you wake up, you're in everybody else's eyes. And in my eyes too, like you're killing it. You and Tyler, you're doing the thing. It's happening. Y'all are killing it for sure. And now that, you know, I'm sure people, when they see your content, you have super high quality content, amazing videos, you know, really high quality stuff. You bring in teachers from all around to come in and film and all that kind of stuff. When you're doing what you're doing now, when you wake up in the morning, what is it like? What is a morning routine like? So you've seen this vision, you've like this thing has bloomed, evolved, you know, into all these things. What's next? Like, where do you want to go now that you've gotten to where you got to?
Metaverse. She's going to the metaverse.
Maybe.
Everybody.
Hey, VR yoga. It's coming. Somebody going to do it.
Hey, we should be the forerunners of that trend.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming. Yes.
Well, you know, I kind of take your question as two parts because you were talking about like the morning routine part.
Sure.
And then you're talking about where we're going from here. And the one thing I want to say about like that day-to-day reality is when you're first starting a business, it's go, 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 grind, 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 hustle 24/7. And yep. It still is very, very busy. But the one of the biggest lessons I've learned is, and not even busy, let's say full, multidimensional. But one of the things I've learned and been able to enact recently, which has felt so good, so nourishing, and even more empowering to create and continue to grow, is like padding my mornings, padding all of my days with a ton of mindfulness, self-care, intentional time, not working. And so like one of the places I want to go from here is less time spent on that daily grind and like nurturing that hustle mentality and more time spent like really living, like really being, like really allowing myself to slow down and be in the moment, because I'm learning finally 6 years in that's the key for like creating more, for growing more. It's like investing in yourself. Like you're putting the money, your money is your energy, and you're putting that in the bank of your like resources, your inspiration, your ability. So if that made any sense at all to
everyone else, makes sense.
Like, yeah. I mean, I think so many of us, you guys included, like we're all just busting it and that's great, but you got to slow down and take a step back. So like that nice slow living for me is feeling so good and nourishing on a soul level. And where I want to go from here is more of that, like helping to spread that, you know, approach and perspective through my teachings and what we're offering. In terms of Yogi Approved and where we're going from here, we're about to launch YA classes live. So we're going to be offering live classes too. Stoked on that. Brian did our first round and it was short-lived. There were some technical difficulties. So we're coming back like stronger.
Yeah, let's go. For it.
Stoked to be back on that. And I'm about to release my second book. I finished writing it. It's hitting the shelves this December. So I like to speak this out because when we speak, we are speaking things into existence. So I want to continue writing and publishing more books and getting more book deals and doing that too, because that's such a big part of what fills me up.
That's so cool. So I didn't know you had a first book. So tell me what the first book is and then what's the second book?
Yes. So my first book I published back in 2018, it's called Learn, Grow, Shift. And it's a personal development workbook. So it's like a daily companion and you work through a mantra and then an accompanying practice, whether it's a meditation, mirror work, a yoga pose that relates to the mantra. It's really fun. It's been a really impactful book. Really loved writing that one. And then the second one that's about to come out is a year-long companion for women. And so it's all about motivation, inspiration, and building self-confidence. So that was super so fun and rewarding to write. And it's going to be hitting the shelves right before Christmas.
Congratulations.
Nice. Thanks. Mom, if you're listening, that's your present. It's your present for Christmas.
It's coming in the...
You're welcome, Mom.
Yeah, I'm helping myself out, actually, giving you this book. Just kidding. Sorry, Mom.
There you go. You're right. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's like, here, this is for you.
That's so good.
Actually,
and also for me.
You're right.
My sanity.
And also for me. Well, congratulations, Ashton, on that. Congratulations. And to reflect on what you said initially about the self-care piece, and I think my question was in two parts because I just like, you know, Brian and I, we just think of things and then we say them out loud and then it comes out however it comes out.
Awesome.
But when you were reflecting on the self-care part and, you know, slowing down, like 6 years in is hustle, all the time. I know, Brian and I know that feeling of like constantly hustling. I feel like I've been doing it a similar amount of time. And just very recently, I started like a whole new project. And then I was like, once I launched it and everything's out there, I was like, I'm just wiped from like getting it, you know, just getting to the starting line. I'm like exhausted.
Yeah.
And so now, when you're talking about slowing down a bit, self-care, using those practices to fuel the other things in life and noticing it doesn't have to always be on the phone or on the internet or emails or all the things. I sometimes, and I don't know if I was just curious if you guys ever struggle with this. Like today I went and got a massage and I went to the chiropractor, like, you know, it was like a 2.5 hour commitment in the morning, whatever it was. And sometimes I feel guilty. Like I should be on my phone. I should be emailing someone. I should be creating a piece of content. I should be doing something. And then I have to remind myself, like, I work on Sunday, like for 6 hours while everyone else is like eating donuts and going to church or whatever. Like I'm working, and other days, like I'm hustling on Saturday sometimes, you know what I mean? I have to remind myself of that, but I don't know if you all ever struggle with that. And what is one piece of advice either of you might give for someone that has like those demons of like, you should be doing something, you know?
Oh man, that is such a great question. So Brian, I'm jumping in first, man.
Do it. I was hoping you would.
You know, the shoulds, I'm so glad you brought that up. I feel like so many people deal with the shoulds, the ought tos, you know, these like requirements and the pressure that we put on ourselves. And I think when it comes to things like self-care, there is a lot of guilt that we often, especially in, you know, our Western society where it is glorified to be as busy, as productive, as on the grind as possible, very masculine, right? So very like go, 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 do, do, do. It can feel almost like you're doing something wrong to take a break, or it's really selfish, or it's a waste of time, or it's gluttonous, or whatever we want to associate with it. But in actuality, it's like the oxygen mask, right? Like on the airplane, you have to take care, you have to do you first. So you have to fill your own cup before you can fill anyone else's. And if you're not, how are you expecting to show up and give your very best? And when I was burning the wick at both ends and just plowing through burnout for years, literally just ignoring it and being like, nah, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I should go. I crashed and burned so hard and lost so much more time in that crash and burn, not to mention how uncomfortable that was for myself, not to mention how, frankly, it was really hypocritical of me as a healer, a leader in a wellness space to be pushing myself beyond my limits every day. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Why am I not practicing what I'm preaching? And so when I finally did start practicing that, it was revolutionary to, like I mentioned earlier in this conversation, to my productivity. Like I can sit down and plug in and get stuff done in 5 hours that before I would have done a 12-hour day because I'm grinding, I'm forcing myself, I'm chugging that fourth cup of coffee. Like that's not healthy, right? Instead of your lovely morning, you got a nice massage, you went to the chiropractor, which P.S. it's because the man is training for a triathlon. Like he's a machine and he has to take care of his body. But I mean, it's like the best thing that you could do. And yet you still are dealing with this mindset of, ooh, I guilty. It's 2.5 hours. And so finally, to wrap up, my advice for that, somehow I got the pen back in my hand because I'm back for the lecture.
I thought it was going to be a ruler next or something.
Yeah. A nice big ruler. But
Ryan, it's going to be a chancla, man.
Yeah.
A what?
Oh. A chancla.
Throwing shoes at
the
us.
Mexican grandma throwing
next
shoes.
Question. Next question.
Sorry, Ashley, yeah, we cut you off.
Yeah. No, it's fine. But the advice is to, you know, allow whatever feelings come up around your self-care. Like, it's okay, Pedro, that you were like, oh, I'm feeling a little guilty, but do it anyway. Create and establish a routine around it. Build it into your day. Schedule it in like you would a meeting, an oil change, whatever, and consider it as important, if not more important. Be selfish, because that's when you can give your very best to everyone else, to all of your pursuits. And it's not selfish at the end of the day. If you're not taking care of you, you're not going to give your best to anyone else either.
Mic drop.
So good. So good.
Thank you, Ashton, for that.
Thanks.
Thanks. That's a great piece of advice for everybody. So thank you. And B, what do you think?
It's like such a balance for me. Like, I try so hard to find balance, and then I go type A with finding balance. You know, I'm just like, okay, I need to fucking schedule everything. And then I'm like, I'm stressing out about this balance, you know, I'm like, it has to be balanced. So I'm like very OCD with things like that. And Pedro, I do feel that guilt when I try and take care of myself too. It's just because, you know, it's like, when I sit idle and I do things like for self-care, like I do yoga and I do meditation, but then, like I was saying, like I get like type A where I'm just like, okay, I have to meditate this time, every time, then I have to do yoga, and I'm starting like my yoga practice. So let me see.
Yes, I'll go like five times 30. A week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a minute. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it really is just relaxing a little bit more. And like, I've told my family my schedule and they're like, stop telling me like what you do during the day. Like, it's stressing me out. And I'm like, I've cut back. I'm like,
doing less.
this is me relaxing. Like, making like 2 meditations a day, posting like 3 videos on Instagram and doing all this. And it's like,
So I feel you.
It's very, but the problem like I get is like, you know, like yesterday I'm in the shower and then I have like a meme idea and like, I have to fucking post it. Like, I'm going to,
it are was you posting the, it in was the shower?
I, yeah. You
posted. I wish I should, I should get a waterproof phone so I could do that. But yeah, I had like the idea of like the, what happens if the yoga block was like talking, saying, lean on me. And like, literally I got out of the shower and I fucking made it like the towel around.
It's
me.
It's a funny
like
video, this. Bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's my issue. It's like, I just have to post things. I have to do things. My mind's always like that. So yeah, I struggle with just chilling. And I need to do that more, like more shavasanas, more doing nothing. That's like what one of my coaches told me, AKA therapist. I'll call him a coach. He's like, I want you to do fucking nothing for a week. No content. Don't make one piece of content. Don't do shit for a week. And that was like 7 months ago. I still haven't done that.
So Ryan's I feel you. Sure, bro.
Yeah, sure, man. He's probably listening. Shout out, bro, out there.
I know. I was like, you're so interested. But Brian, I might have a question for you now. Hmm. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to keep trying to find ways to relax? What's your plan?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm finding ways to relax. I'm actually in it. You know, I'm actually going out and doing like yoga classes, too many of them, but I'm just like trying to like reel it in, find the balance. Like, I haven't really been making as much content. I try and shut my phone off. Like, I've been like trying to figure that balance out, because once I get on Instagram, once I get on the platforms, I am fucking sucked in like a full blown like crack addict on my phone. Once I get on those platforms, like, it just sucks me in. Cause you know, I want to like respond to people. Like, I want to respond back to comments. Like, then I have ideas. So it's like, It's either like all or nothing for me. And I'm just trying to find that like middle balance. So I'm still searching. I'm still searching, everybody.
It's a journey. It's a journey. And you'll get there. You do have some awesome boundaries around social, because I know you use it a lot, but also, you know, I see you posting, or like you've mentioned to me before, that you're not going to be on, like you take time to be completely off. How does it feel when you're completely off? Because when I'm completely off, I'm like, you know, I'm just like, dance party. But I feel like Brad would be like.
The first couple of days are rough. It's just like, you know, your brain is just getting figured out. Like you have all these ideas or whatever. Like the first day or two when I go on these detox are terrible. Like I need to go on. But then after that, I'm like, I never want to go on again. Like I never want to go on social media again, because then I'm just like, wow, I can sit outside. I'm like listening to the birds without like trying to think of content or something to do, or like worried about responding back to someone, or like, did I miss something on a DM? So it really is, it really is nice once I'm off of it. Yeah. How about you, Pedro?
I think, this is one piece of advice that I heard a long time ago. And we might've talked this on the show before, but if we did, whatever, I'll say it again. As a creator, at someone like you, Brian, and you too, Ashton, right? As a creator that creates really great content and has great ideas as an entrepreneur, the hits are going to keep on coming. Like the hit machine is just going to keep coming. Don't save, close your eyes and pray for your fourth album. You're going to you're going to have more hits by the fourth album. You know, just put it on the first album and put the album out. You know, if you got a good piece of content and you have an idea and then you forget it, oh, fucking well, because you're going to have another good idea. It's going to happen again. Long as you just keep, you know, the hit machine just keeps on giving out hits, you know, and that's the one thing I would say is like, when I've done, you know, I went to a vacation last week and I was off my phone for the majority of it. I had some ideas come along the way, and sometimes I'll just put it in my phone and store it for another day. And sometimes I'm just like, man, like whatever, like that sounds like a great idea, but I don't care. Like if it's meant to be, I'll just come back. If it's not, then whatever, you know, and bye, you know,
there you go.
So yeah, that's kind of how I think of it.
And what about like for me, cause I know I used to be like that too. At night, I'd be trying to wind down for sleep instead my mind would be like, oh, and then you could do this. And then you blah, blah, blah. So then I would just put it in the journal, and then it's like, brain dump, and then I can just be present in Brian's case, or go to bed in my case, whatever it is. But also, I loved what Pedro said, because it kind of reminds me of like, are we coming at this from a lack mentality or an abundance mindset, right? And Pedro's was like very abundant. Like, you know what? I'll remember it if it's important, or I'm just not going to worry about it right now. And like, I'll write it down, but then put my phone away and deal with it later. It's like, you're not worried about the hit machine. It's going to keep producing hits. You're good. You're in the flow. You got the abundance. And then Brian, maybe there's like a little bit of like scarcity mindset. We're like, I got to do it right now.
Yeah. Now. Zero impulse control. There's zero impulse control over here. Zero. But I like the hit machine. That was really good.
Overly abundant.
I like it.
back in the day though, I remember like driving my car and like think of a meme and like literally pulling off the road into a parking lot, parking in a random CVS and making a meme, posting it and getting back on the road. I can attest to that. That is a real thing. And that has happened to me.
The cops come check on you. They're like, are you okay? You're like, no, I just making a meme. Just making a meme in the back of the CVS.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, you guys are both dope creators and creatives, and you put out some amazing content all the time. And so it's amazing. It's incredible what you do. And I think it's great. And I think it's all a journey for all of us, right? We're always learning and evolving. And the final thing I want to say is Brian is such an incredible meditation instructor. Like, one of my faves. I don't care if I'm like fangirling about his meditations. And I think it's ironic, Brian, to like hear about, I know, right? To hear about your mind and your brain and how you're always like, go, 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 like thinking, creating. And then also for all of you listening who have taken Brian's meditations, guided meditations, Nidra, he's so calming. His meditations are so potent and they bring you to such a deep space. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So maybe that for you too, Brian, is like, is that where you kind of plug in and recharge?
I do. I love it. That's like my really only time during the day. Like I meditate every single day, 20 minutes in the morning. And like, I just drop in. Like, that's just my time to just drop in, and just focus on my breath and just chill. So like, that's really like my only time other than going to yoga and like journaling and everything where I'm just like there, like connected to source. And that's why I love sharing meditations. And thank you so much for that nice compliment. Really appreciate it.
Brian, what kind of meditation do you do on your own? I don't think I've ever asked you this question.
Ooh, like,
like what are you, when you, your, what is your practice? You, what are you, what kind of meditation are you doing?
Yeah. So what I, when I started, I used to do like guided meditations, and now I really have like 2 to 3. I normally do 528 Hertz. Like it's the love frequency or like the manifestation frequency. So I listen to that. I just have like a couple song, songs on YouTube that are like 8 hours long on loops. So I'll throw them, I wear my AirPods, I throw it in. And for the first like 5 minutes, I'm just like arriving. You know, I use a mudra. It's like, I don't know what it's called. Pinky finger to ring finger. And then my two index finger, middle finger up. I guess this mudra like cures like so many different ailments. I don't know exactly what it's called, but I've been doing.
No, I'm trying to think of it.
Yeah. I don't know that one either. Okay.
Yeah. I just do that. And then I'll arrive for like 5 minutes. So I don't really like force anything. I just listen to the music, just breathe. And I don't really like focus on like what type of breath I'm doing. I'm just like observing everything. I'm just arriving. And then lately I've been doing a breath work where at first you like figure out what your pulse rate is. So you like take your pulse rate, and then with your mouth closed, you breathe in a 6 count to your pulse. So 6 pulse beats in, you hold your breath 3 pulse beats, and then you exhale 6 pulse beats. So 6, 3, 6. And I read this in some like old book that you can't like find anymore, that this guy went to like India to like study like the powerful yogis and how the magic that they did. And they use this breath work to control their prana, to control their energy. And this guy was a hypnotist. The book is called Hypnotism and Mysticism in India. So this guy, he's a famous hypnotist. He wrote a lot of books. He went there to study yogi magic, like back in the, you know, it wasn't like mainstream magic. And what he found, like in this book, which is like crazy, that these yogis like were able to manipulate and control their prana so much that they can basically, whatever was in their imagination, they can shift that picture over into someone else's mind. So they can actually like have other people hallucinate, and they can astral project and things like that. So like that breath work was like the main breath work on everything that how they control. And I guess there's so your heartbeat, but then your brain waves and all your chakras. So this breath work basically evens out all your chakras and gets all your chakras super powerful. So I tried it, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I just feel like vibrating so good during my meditation. So I do that breath work, and then I just watch my thoughts. I'm just like, whatever's coming in, whatever's coming out. And then if I feel good the last 5-10 minutes, like I might manifest some stuff. Like, what do I want? What do I want to feel? And that is what I do. And yeah, that's what I do my 20 minutes.
That's so cool. And so the breath work is, how long are you controlling that stuff? 5 minutes ish or the whole time?
I depends. Do it maybe the whole time. Yeah. It just depends on how I'm feeling, because they say, you know, they say in that book, like, you don't want to like tire yourself out from the breath work. Like if you're feeling tired, and it really just goes like day by day. Some days I can do it the whole meditation, and that's all I'm thinking about after the 5 minutes of getting into it is I might just breathe for that 15 minutes and just focus on that breath, and then just feel my body just feeling like just the vibe going up and just feeling good. And then other times I might do it like 5-10 minutes and then just have a steady breath and manifest stuff. So it's always that 20 minutes. I listen to that 528 Hertz, and like, it gets me set for the day. It really does.
Amazing.
So that's so cool. Thank you for sharing that. Glad you asked, Pedro. Have you guys read Autobiography of a Yogi?
Yeah,
I haven't.
Oh, Pedro. And Brian, you have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've read it. And at first I was like, I don't know about some of this stuff because it was trippy, until I read this other book. I'm like, okay, now I believe what's happening.
And it's explaining more of how and why it was happening. And Pedro, to bring you in.
Yeah, so loop me in.
Yeah. Paramahansa Yogananda wrote Autobiography of a Yogi. Mm-hmm. And Yogananda, have you heard of Yogananda?
Yeah.
So, and in it, he shares about like all the specific stories with these particular yoga masters that Brian is telling about. I mean, the incredible things they could do is unbelievable. And it all comes back to the breath that you were talking about, Brian. That's so cool. So for anyone listening who's intrigued by this, that is a highly recommended book. Highly recommended.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, those powerful yogis, they know how to, like, our prana and our chi and our energy and our body. It's like, we're just, for the most part, we're just going through the motions. Like, we don't really like know how much power we have in our bodies. So it's like, and I know both of you experienced it just with yoga. Like, you can feel that energy, like, throughout your body. You can feel that prana and you can feel it with the breath. And then that's what, yeah, these powerful yogis, they really know how to work with prana and the universe and how to, like, change things and manifest things. And I'm just getting into that stuff. And it's like, I'm glad I can talk to you all about that, because I don't really share with people because they think I'm absolutely fucking batshit crazy when I'm talking about stuff like this, you know, like,
yeah,
people that just haven't, like, experienced yoga or haven't, like, opened those doors yet. So
Yeah, absolutely. The thousands of people listening to this episode might agree with you that you are batshit crazy, but they understand why you're batshit crazy, because they are also batshit crazy, because that's why we're all here, because I'm batshit crazy and so is Ashton.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, we're all on this spaceship together, guys.
Yeah, totally on the we're on the floating rock in the middle of nothing. Yeah. So
exactly.
And sometimes, like, learning about this stuff and, like, meditating, you know, and, like, figuring out, like, what you're actually seeing, like, the illusion, like, it gets a little bit overwhelming. Like, sometimes for me, when I'm like doing this shit and digging deep, I'm like, fuck, I can never watch TV again. Like, I don't even want to be in this society anymore. Like, I want to go fucking move to the middle of the forest and just do yoga and meditate. And, like, yeah. So it's like tough too, like, finding that balance when you're, like, actually living in society.
It is. And honestly, with you guys, I would love to dive into that exact thing, because we're all entrepreneurs. We're all in the spiritual yoga wellness realm. And it's a really interesting line to walk, to do business, to be in business, and to also maintain, like, that authentic spirituality, right? And it's kind of like a line that we walk all the time, just like Brian's walking that line between, like, higher consciousness and, like, TV, reality, TikTok, like, day-to-day society shit. So it's just a really interesting juxtaposition. And it's been fun and challenging and uniquely weird to navigate, right? Like, what are you guys' takes on that?
Yeah, you're not the only one. You know, Brian, you want to go first? Go ahead, man. Brian, you're first.
Go, Pedro.
All right.
I've been chatting a lot.
No, okay. No, you, no me, no you.
I feel that too. It's you know, as a yoga instructor and community leader, however you want to title it, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I know, like, oftentimes I show up to teach these yoga classes on the beach, right, with my friend, or, you know, we teach this big full moon class. It's like 200 people, right? And I'm, you know, we teach the class. It's great, and, like, you know, it's just by donation, right? Just by donation, make a donation. Okay. And at the end of the class, when we make the announcement, like, okay, like, you know, if you'd like to donate for the class, you can, you know, put money in a mason jar or send a Venmo or whatever. But at the end of the class, I feel so good after that class, like, you know, that everything just worked out. It's all good. Part of me is like, I don't care if anybody puts a penny in this fucking jar. I don't care, because, like, my soul feels full, because I know that I'm doing the right thing for the right reason. And the other part of me, like you're saying, is like, everybody needs to put money in this jar, because I got to, like, pay for my bills and stuff, you know, and my time is here. I got three kids, you know? And so finding that balance between the two of, like, this is society. We have to sustain, have it, you know, we have to pay for things. Like, that's how this works. And then also knowing that, I just want to do this because I like doing this, which is great. But I think it all, ultimately for me, it always comes back to, like, I know that my time is valuable, just like everybody's time is valuable. And so I just want people to be able to pay, or when anyone comes to anything that I'm offering, any, whatever it might be, if it's a paid service, The reason that it's paid is because one, we live in society, and two, that I believe my time is valuable. And if you believe that my time is valuable, then you're willing to pay the money for my time and whatever it is. And that's just kind of how it works. It's and just like we talked about earlier, Ashton, like energy, money is energy, right? And so like that money that's shifted into me by coming to an experience that I'm holding is just shifted into me because you feel like this is a positive experience for your life. And so you're just like saying, hey, here's the energy because you're filling my cup. So I'm filling your cup. It's like an exchange. So
yes. That's
how I think about it, you know? But yeah, there's plenty of times where I'm like, there's been both ways. Plenty of times where I was like, I don't care if anybody pays me for this. I'm just glad to be here. And other times where like, I need to get paid for my time. You know, absolutely. So yeah.
And both are relevant and you can feel both at the same time. And as teachers, I'm sure all three of us and any teachers listening can relate to that too. It fills you up so much that you're like, you know what? That's payment in and of itself. However, that's like soul payment that fills you up. That's not paying your rent, you know? No. And interesting shift. And then I was just talking about this with my girlfriend the other day, and she was like, yeah, it's so interesting that we all work, like we all put in these hours each day in order to get in turn paid for the hours that we've worked. And then we go out and we pay for things with this currency, which is really nothing. It's just a symbolic piece of paper, but it's we're paying for someone else's time with our time that we spent working to get that money. So that's like that little interesting perception.
I love the way you put that. I love the way you put that about the time. Right? I never thought of it like that. Super cool.
Exactly. So anyway, so that's like why I think often, and then I want to hear Brian, but I just think often I get asked this, I'm sure you guys get asked this, like I'm a teacher and I don't know what to charge. And I feel like I shouldn't be charging for this because it's healing and people need it and all that. And I'm like, that's so beautiful. And that's so generous of you. And also, are you a human? Do you need to eat? Do you need to pay your bills? Like, did you work hard to get the certification that you're now sharing your gift with others? Like you paid for that certification. You know what I mean? Like, yes, honey, like ask for what you want, ask for what you deserve. You are worthy. And that's it. Okay. Yeah. Brian.
Yeah.
100%.
You were just saying, you know, like the energy exchange. I'm like, fuck, all my money just goes straight to DoorDash. Like it's just a very and like that's all I work for, really. Like this podcast needs to be sponsored by DoorDash. I was like, gee, I just figured it out. Like if I cut DoorDash, like wow. Yeah.
That is
the month of March, I like DoorDash like every day. Like I didn't leave my house.
What's your favorite place to get DoorDash from?
Gosh, I have like seven, but Chipotle a lot. Chipotle, Pita Jungle comes through all the time. And I really like Ono Hawaiian Grill. Mm.
Like, dude.
It's so good. Hawaiian food with like the macaroni thing. Ono Hawaiian?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that today. DoorDash is hitting up.
This episode has been brought to you by DoorDash in Phoenix.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sending this to them. Like they need to hook it up. Pedro, they need to hook us all up. Jeez. I need a gift card at least. No, but for me lately, I've just like really hunkered down on not giving free advice anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was getting just so burned out myself. And I guess I've been doing better at like protecting my energy. You know, because I put out all these meditations and whatnot, and then I get a lot of questions, and like I love answering questions, but I've realized it's like, man, I didn't go through like five fucking trainings to be given like free advice. Like I just dropped like $6,000 worth of trainings this year, you know, and it's like, why am I given this free? So yeah, I've really, you know, I set like, I have like an energy healing course, like a 5-day intensive course, and just some other things, you know, hypnotherapy, hour-long sessions. So yeah, if you want some advice, then yeah, you'd have to pay for those sessions. I don't give them out free anymore. So that has really helped. And like I do yoga classes donation-based, and I feel good about that because like most people do donate. And I feel like if no one was donating, I'd be like, fuck it, I'm not doing this class anymore. You know, because I'm not doing shit for free anymore. And everybody out there listening, don't do shit for free. At least have donation-based or charge for it. Or fucking read a book in your house and do something for yourself. That's all I got to say about that.
There's that mic drop.
There's the mic drop, you know.
My blue drop right there.
You know, I saw someone on social media. This was a while back, and she had a very big following. And I can only imagine with, you know, 80,000 plus followers, how many messages she was getting and all of this. Well, I saw a story she did, and it was basically saying what Brian said. I get so many messages from everyone. So many people reach out to me asking for help, advice, blah, blah, blah. And I love it. Also, though, my whole life is not just here to be answering DMs, and especially for free. So she was like, lovingly, I'm going to start charging for my time for these questions. Here's my Venmo. And that way we're both getting the value out of this. And I was like, girl, that is a boundary. And it was so empowering. And the way that she put it out there was also like, it was giving other people permission to do the same. And I thought that was really cool. So Brian, I'm glad to hear that, because I can only imagine how much you get hit up to. And
yeah, I love that she did that. And it's true. It's like, you know, when I was given advice, it's like, and then people would just argue with me. So I'm like, cool, pay me fucking $200 an hour, and then you can argue with me all you fucking want. I don't care. So either way.
But and not paying, like, and arguing.
Yeah, here you go. I'll listen to you $200. No, but like, I also wanted to say that, you know, it is good to like, I have free content out there. I have like hundreds of meditations out there free. Like, they can go listen to them for free. Cool. All that shit's out there for you. Go listen to that. But like, if you want one-on-one with me and like help or like classes where I'm actually going to teach and use my energy and time, I don't do that for free anymore. I used to. I don't recommend it to anybody out there, because you're like, this is what happened for me. I want to do it for free. And then like, I feel fucking resentful. I'm like, but I just gave you all this value, you know? And then I'm just like, fuck, I should have charged for it. So I don't feel good. And then I'm not given like the best energy out there. So I know like I've like had friends where I'm like, what do you want to charge here? And they're like, oh no, you know, just an energy exchange or whatever. Or just like post something for me. But then it's also like, stressful for me. It's like, what do you want from me? Like, do you want fucking money? Like, I want to make sure I give you the best value that you're giving me. So like, tell me a price. Like,
yeah,
I would rather pay you money or know like specifically what you want me to do in return for you. So there's no like resentments back and forth. Like, fuck, like I didn't get enough value there. So that's helpful. I mean, for me. So I hope that helps you all.
I think that's such a great point. Great guidance. Is it's just about clear communication. You know, at the end of the day, it might feel uncomfortable at first, but these are really important conversations to have. And the more you have them, the easier it gets. It just becomes a boundary. It's establishing your self-worth, your value. It's important. So get out there and do it. Set those boundaries.
Yeah. Set those boundaries and like figure out what you're worth, you know, figure out like what your time is worth. You know, that's what I had to do. It's like, what is my time worth? 30 minutes or an hour? And I've talked to Pedro. You know, we've talked like many times about it. It's like, what do I charge? What do I do? Why am I doing this for free? You know, like, why am I stressing out about this? Like, I got to protect my energy. You all got to protect your energy. We all do.
There's another podcast that I really love, and it's just like a short, it's like 10 minute long episodes, and it's called The Daily Boost. And it's just like short little inspirational chunks. And I was listening to it the other day, and it was all about like the laws of stoicism for like a happier, more peaceful life. And it's all super simple. And one of it was protect your time, because, you know, we're all very protective of our resources, like our money, you know, things like that. But what about our time? And often it's not as much, right? And it's one of those things, like Brian was saying, like, if you aren't protecting your time and you're also not being compensated, you're going to feel so resentful. So it's either your time is valuable, is money, or maybe stop offering it out as much, because time is precious. And the fact that it's mid-November already is a testament to how quickly it goes by. OMG.
Yeah.
But can I say one more thing?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love to play devil's advocate. The one thing I want to say, and I think Brian and I talked about this on Brian's podcast, is about if you're a brand new teacher, and you guys get this too, sometimes you do stuff for free because you're just wanting the experience, you need to be saying yes. That's always my advice for new teachers, not go and do everything for free, but to say yes to all the opportunities and to just kind of get your name out there, get the practice in. So if that includes some free stuff, you better be doing it, like get it done. But then of course, what we're talking about is established brands, established businesses.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like that type of free, like say classes, like that's bringing you a value. Like, you know, you're going into there and you're like, yes, like I'm doing this for free because of this. Like, I'm not doing this for free because I don't want to hurt your feelings. And I really, that's been tough for me. And I know like a lot of like yoga teachers out there or just like people that are helping others. And like Pedro said it too, that guilt, you know, the guilt of taking like care of yourself. Well, it's like the guilt of saying no to free advice, telling someone no, or like, here, no, it's my rate is 100 an hour or whatever your rate is. It's like, and then having to deal with like their backlash, like, oh my gosh, it's too expensive. I would never pay that or this and that. Like, I thought you're a yogi. I mean, that really doesn't happen, but like the fear is there. So it's like, yeah, it is hard and difficult, but like to protect your energy, you have to set those boundaries. Like I have to, we all have to, like, no. Like I'm not going to do it. This is my price. Like, this is my class. Like, I'm not going to do it for free because like I've done stuff where like I devalued what I wanted, you know, like I really just wasn't, I didn't have my voice to be like, no, I really want this much to do this. And I was just fucking resentful. And it doesn't, it doesn't help anyone being resentful compared to just asking for what you want.
Right. Yep. That energy exchange.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh no. I actually had a follow-up question about all of this for you guys. Both of you is there's also, you know, lots of debates around free yoga from yoga teachers being like, please do not be giving out free yoga. Right. And I hear it a lot. Yeah. An interview with Gina Caputo, a fantastic yoga instructor out of Boulder. And she talks about that, like, you're diminishing the value of the teachers and the trainings they've gone through and everything that they do to be here in order to teach this class by offering just free. And like Brian said, you know, he offers free meditations. Yogi Approved has a free YouTube channel of classes. Like, of course we want to keep it accessible for those who might not be able to afford, right? Or who are just starting and want to try something. But the point is, like, overall, if people are only offering free classes, the argument is, we're diminishing the value of what these teachers have put in and invested in this gift that they're sharing. So what is your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with that. Do you remember? Okay, so I don't know if you remember. So the pandemic happens, right? Day one of the pandemic, like everything gets shut down. Every yoga teacher I knew was on Facebook and Instagram teaching free yoga. And I just sat there like this in my head. I said, what the hell? So you can't go teach at this. You can't go to the studio to work anymore. So let me just go on Facebook and teach for free. This makes zero sense. Something's not making sense. You know, so when I started my online thing right at the pandemic, it was just, I did everything donation for the first 6 months. And then I made an online thing. Right. But it was like, I was well sustained. I was taken care of. So I was fine. But, and I was helping to help people that couldn't come, but it wasn't for free. It wasn't advertised as free. No, it wasn't like that. Right. But it was funny to watch the transition of like, everyone's teaching for free on Facebook and Instagram for like a month or whatever. And then like, now I'm teaching donation. And then everyone just left. Like, it was just over. Like, nobody was doing it anymore because it wasn't sustainable. You know, it was ruining like the value of like people like that are having paid clients, you know? And I think it ultimately all takes care of itself. Just like, like the people that are doing it, just they get weeded out over time. I think so anyway. Because there's so much other stuff out there. What's challenging for me is like, you see like the Peloton app, the Mirror app, you know, these companies that have millions and millions of dollars that they make super high quality content accessible for like $20 a month or whatever it is, 19, 30, all these different prices. And then if you're like a solopreneur trying to make it, you know, it's like, I can't like create all this content and make like $10 a month. You know, it's going to take me a long time to build that platform. But initially it's like, well, how do I sustain like the first 2 years? Like, I don't know. Like, y'all got to, like, it's an interesting balance to trying to figure all this shit out, but yeah, definitely not free. No, get out of here.
and get out of here with that. And that's such a good point, dude. Like all these online streaming services have cropped up around COVID, and that's great. You know, for me, it's community over competition. I'm like, if you're finding yoga, that's really what matters. But I can't imagine being like the solo teacher starting a platform and then looking at Peloton or, you know, being like, shit.
Shit, like how do I do it? Or even Yogi Approved, you know, like y'all are crushing it. Like, you know, you're getting like 8 million Pinterest views a month. Like that's a whole lot of people that are seeing your amazing content that can funnel into your awesome cat, a library of classes where Yogi Brian is and plenty of other folks. But it's like, even thinking about that, like I can't keep up with that, man. I'm filming a podcast from my son's bedroom. Like, how am I going to keep up with that? You know,
is that your son's bedroom? I love it.
Yeah. Like that's where I'm at in my life. You know, like I'm, you know, but, and then there's that doubt demon that comes in as a solopreneur. And then the next part of it is like, I have a community of people that are already here. Maybe it's only, you know, a couple thousand that are like, that listen to me. That's a lot of people. Imagine standing up on a stage, and this goes to everyone out there. Imagine standing on a stage and there's, you know, say you have an email list with 500 people. Imagine there's 500 people in the crowd and you get to talk to them. That's a lot of people. You know, it might not be, you know, the Chase Field. It might not be a giant stadium, right, full of people, but 500 is a lot when it's just you starting. And so don't diminish the fact that you only have X number of followers when somebody else appears to have whatever they have, and maybe they're doing it. Don't worry about what they're doing. Just talk to the people that you have that want to listen now. And then the community will over competition, right? The community will grow itself as long as you keep showing up for yourself first and then showing up for them. And then it will organically build from there. But don't compare yourself to other people that you think are doing more. Not that you think, like, you know, that like Peloton is clearly doing more than me. That's okay. Yeah. And that's all right. But I'm trying to talk to the people that want to listen to my message, you know, and then it'll grow. It'll work out from there. Like it'll take care of itself. So,
and that's so cool about, I love everything you said. That's what's so cool about what you have to offer, Pedro. Like your students are coming for you. Mm-hmm. So they don't give a shit about Peloton. Like they don't care. No. So and I love that advice too, because you know, there's plenty of good points to social media, and one of the many faults or, you know, negative sides is that comparison trap. And the thing we know is, oh, this company platform looks bigger than me, or they have more members or followers, whatever. But what our chapter one isn't going to look like anyone else's chapter one. Our chapter 20 isn't going to look like anyone else's chapter 20. So it's like removing the comparison, staying in your lane, just keep doing you, and they will come.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give up when it's like, it starts to get hard. That's the trick. It's like when you hit the wall, you talked about in the very beginning of the show, you know, when you hit a part where it's like, God, I don't want to like do something. Like, I don't want to check any boxes on this. I don't want to even look at the damn list today, but shit, I just got to check a box. And that might lead to two boxes. You know, it goes back to the two shitty pages, Brian, you know, just do just do something, you know, to start, to get it going, you know, to get a little bit of momentum. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Two shitty pages. That's been like the best thing I've ever heard, like back in the day. It's like, just commit to two shitty pages a day when you're writing. And sometimes there'll be 10 great pages. Sometimes there'll actually be two shitty pages. So that's been one of the things like Pedro and I talk about. It's like just two shitty episodes. Like we just gotta put them out.
Just go put them out.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. So we don't get like all super into perfection.
I love that. That's like the permission to let it go. Cause talking about type A perfectionist over here, that's huge weight off to be like, just get it out, get it done.
Get it out.
Progress, selfish question here.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
progress. Selfish question here. What I need to know both your processes of if you're stuck, like writer's block or stuck on some shit, like what do you do to get out of it?
Ashton first.
All right. I'm like Pedro. For me, and this probably comes as no surprise since I'm a movement practitioner and teacher, but it's, you know, if you're feeling stuck mentally, get out of your head and into your body. So if I'm feeling stuck, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. It's dance party time. I'm going to blast my favorite song I'm going to dance obnoxiously around the living room. And usually that gets the job done. Sometimes then I'll also need to either phone a friend, right? Like call someone like my mom, she's very supportive, or call a friend who's going to like, whoosh, like, no, Ashton, you're fine. Like they did. Journaling and getting out in nature. Like these are the things that help reset, just kind of clear the head. You know, if you're feeling stuck in any form, it's just, you need to change the scenery. You need to reset the brain, get out there, walk barefoot on any earth natural surface. That grounding, like those earth ions, are so healing, grounding, and resetting for your nervous system. That's what I do. Yeah.
I love that. I'm doing that. I'm dance partying it up. I don't have that on my my stuck resume. I'm going to do that. Yep. I'm going
to
add it.
Ryan, we need to show dance party. Macarena moves.
We do. We need to throw it in. We need to knit it in this. Knit it in this?
Yeah, I like that. Get to knitting, my friend.
Knitting. Yeah. Video editing, knitting. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about. Pedro, are you?
Totally legit. I was like, yeah, Pedro, knit it right in.
Yeah, let's knit you right in here.
I'm knitting in here. I like to do the same. I like to step away. You know, take a step back away from whatever it is, the thing that I'm like beating my head against the wall with. And nature is always a great solution. I like to go to the beach. I have a beach by me. So I like to go to the beach. That's one of the places I'll go and I'll just sit, you know, walk the beach or just sit. And oftentimes that does the trick for me. I'm not dancing. It's not happening here. Or I'll do something fitness related. You know, I'll go do a bike. I'll go for even just a walk. You know, a walk is great, like you suggested, Ashton. But I like to do something fitness related. A good sweat oftentimes will help give me the reset. And then, you know, plug back into the matrix as necessary, but hopefully with a sense of clarity.
Love that. Absolutely. Yeah, hot yoga, dude. Good one.
Get in the room.
Hot yoga. Like it. Loving it. Loving it.
Oh,
I love it. Well, my friends, this has been a great episode. It's been a fun hour or so of connecting, learning a bit about Yogi Approved, and really more than that, really just like having a genuine conversation that's inspiring and uplifting for people that might be stuck. I loved hearing about Brian's meditation practice. Never asked that question. So really getting to know what that's like, Brian, I think is really cool. And I think people are going to like to hear that part, or they already heard it. So I hope you all like that part. And, you know, and Ashton, thank you so much for taking the time for being here and shining your light and, you know, elevating the vibration of the world with your yoga platform. You know, it started as an online magazine that now has classes that's going to have some live stuff. And that's very cool. You know, it's awesome to see the growth, and I'm looking forward to the VR yoga that you're going to do at some point. And, you know, having goggles.
I need to talk more about this.
having goggles on my face and, you know, and I can be an avatar because apparently that's probably a thing in the next few years. So there's that.
Dude, you're not wrong. I'm here for it too. I think why not? Let's go.
totally. So
well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. This has been super inspiring and I appreciate both of you. And I think we're good. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Namaste, everybody. Thank you so much.
All right, Rez. Peace.
Thank you.